Coming up on show 1476, we have Hyundai Motor Group to invest $5.5 billion in a Georgia factory. Stick around and we'll get you up to speed. Also on the podcast today, we are talking about the BYD Seal getting more than 20,000 orders in 7 hours of pre-sales. Tesla is building out a hardcore litigation department to seek justice. And EVs are now avoiding about 3% of global oil demand. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. It is Monday, the 23rd of May, but this is not Martin Lee here. Yeah, he's off on his holidays, and he's left me in the hot seat for a few days. I'm Blake Boland, and I've gone through every EV story today so that you don't have to. Let's kick things off with our headline story today. That is Hyundai Motor Group to build a $5.5 billion EV plant and battery factory in Georgia. So they've come to an agreement with the state of Georgia to build their first dedicated fully electric vehicle and battery manufacturing facility in the US. Now, the new EV plant and battery manufacturing facility, the investment is going to be $5.5 billion, but also non-affiliated Hyundai Motor Group suppliers are going to be throwing in another $1 billion into the project. So they're hoping to break ground in early 2023. And it's expected to begin commercial production of vehicles in the first half of 2025. And they're talking about an annual capacity of 300,000 units. So this facility is going to be established through a strategic partnership, but we don't have those details yet. So I'd be really interested to see what they mean by that. Now, this manufacturing plant, it's going to be located on a dedicated site of 2,923 acres, absolutely huge. And that's in Bryan County in Georgia. And it's going to have immediate access to the I-95 and I-16 highways. So that gives really, really good accessibility to all the major metro areas. But also, it's less than 50 kilometers from the port of Savannah. And this is, and I quote, the single largest and fastest growing container terminal in the US. So it's great to see that there's also going to be a rail service linking up the manufacturing facility with the port. Really, really good to hear. And hopefully that production stays on schedule. Next up, we want to talk about lithium giant Changchi, apologies for the pronunciation, forming a joint venture with NIO's semi-solid state battery supplier, WeLion. Now, just a bit of background on this one. Changchi is one of China's largest lithium producers with battery-grade lithium metal capacity of about 2,900 tons in 2020. And that accounts for almost half of China's total lithium metal capacity. And we all know how important that is. Now, lithium metal has a very small density and a capacity of up to 3,860 milliamp hours per gram, about 10 times that of the current graphite cathode material. This is according to WeLion. Now, what we're getting at here really is that NIO, because NIO unveiled plans to offer 150 kilowatt hour semi-solid state batteries when they were unveiling their flagship sedan, the ET7. That event was on January 9th of last year, and that got a lot of attention at the time. But they never disclosed the supplier of the battery. However, now on March 27th, the WeLion chief scientist and founder, Li Hong, said that the company will be the supplier of these batteries. So really, really interesting to see how this plays out. Now we want to talk about BYD, Build Your Dreams, and their Seal. We touched on this on the podcast last week, talking about when the car was launched and the specifications and things like that. But in the first 7 hours of pre-sale, this is according to information shared by BYD, they received 22,637 orders. Excellent numbers and well done to them on that. Now, this is at a time when Chinese car company sales generally plunged in April, but BYD saw its NEV sales reach 106,042 units. That's the second consecutive month of more than 100,000 units from them. Now, in a conservative scenario, BYD expects to sell about 1.5 million units in 2022. However, they might see that reaching 2 million, they said, if supply chain conditions improve, according to the minutes of a previous meeting. So these are really big numbers. I mean, 1.5 million units, that is give or take. Let's not get into an argument here. How many units Tesla are looking to produce in 2022 as well? Now let's talk about Nissan and Mitsubishi presenting a compact EV for Japan. Yeah, the two companies have teamed up to jointly develop this electric small car for the Japanese market. Now, it's going to be marketed by Nissan under the name Sakura and by Mitsubishi as the EKX EV, which is a real mouthful. Oh, that's difficult. Let's just call this the Sakura for the rest of this part of the show. Anyway, they're talking about a WLTP, Japanese WLTP of 180 kilometers. So even if that is optimistic, are we going to get 150 kilometers out of that? Just buzzing around Tokyo City, absolutely fine by me. It's got a 47 kilowatt motor and 195 newton meters of torque. Now, a 20 kilowatt hour lithium ion battery is used for this, and top speed is set at 130 kilometers per hour. Charging will take about 8 hours with a standard AC charge and can be done as quickly as 40 minutes for what they call a warning light to 80% charge on a fast charger. And interestingly, we have vehicle-to-home reverse charging capability. Very, very good to see. Now, I love small EVs like that. Big, big fan of small cars in general. And in Japan, they call these K cars. They're really, really popular, accounting for about 40% of the car market. Now, I've been over to Tokyo about 10 or 12 times, and I've seen loads of these kind of vehicles just buzzing around the city. Small, tiny little vans for last mile delivery. They're actually limited to 3.4 meters in length, 1.48 meters in width, and 2 meters in height. So great to see. And I, you know, really want to praise Nissan and Mitsubishi for at least attempting to produce a mass market, smaller, cheaper, practical EV. We need so many more of these. I mean, as much as I, you know, would like to be in a Model X or the BMW iX, we need so much more of these really small, little, practical, cheap, efficient EVs. So well done to Nissan for that. Well, the pace is absolutely frenetic. How does Martin do it day in, day out? No wonder he needs his holidays to recharge. Anyway, it's time for me to stop for a moment, have a quick glass of water. And that's a good opportunity just to make a very timid and polite reminder that you can get yourself onto Patreon to help Martin produce this show. Some amount of money in the background goes on all the various bits of technology, subscriptions, etc. So well done to him for that. And that's on patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. I'll be back in a minute, folks. Oh, that was a refreshing glass of water there. Let's get on with the second half of the show. Now, here's a story that I was not going to put in the show, but I decided to anyway, because it's about Tesla. We all love to hear about Tesla, especially when Elon Musk is up on Twitter. So what's been happening? Well, Tesla are building a hardcore litigation department to seek justice. Now, the CEO, Elon Musk, has announced that the company is building this team that will directly initiate and execute lawsuits. The team will report directly to him, and the head of the company made two commitments about how this department would work. And this is all thanks to Tasmanian.com. More information in the show notes if you want to go and check that out. So the department will never seek victory in a just case against the company, even if it will probably win. And the department will never surrender or settle an unjust case against the company, even if it will probably lose. So real fighting words from Elon Musk here. And we have seen in the past Tesla being on the receiving end of a lot of flack, and it turned out later on that the stories were incorrect or lied or untrue or exaggerated. So it'd be really interesting to see people's reaction to this news and this development over the coming days. But he said that those wishing to apply should send their CV to justice@tesla.com. The CV should contain 3 to 5 bullet points describing evidence of exceptional ability. In addition, Musk asked to include links to cases that the candidates have tried in the past. And he's looking for real fighters who are ready to fight in the battles for justice in the courtroom. And one of his tweets even signed off with, "There will be blood." Let's see how this one develops. And it's time to move on. Next story we want to talk about comes courtesy of InsideEVs.com, and it is Cisco intending to buy up to 800 Freightliner eCascadia. Now, this is a letter of intent, and it's up to 800, so we'll see how this actually works over the next 4 or 5 years. But according to the letter of intent, the fleet would be deployed gradually between 2022 and 2026, with the first eCascadia being delivered to Cisco's Riverside, California site later on this year. So that's pretty soon and good to hear. Now, in the case of Cisco, the vehicles are going to be combined with refrigerated trailers. But the press release doesn't clarify whether or not the trailer will be powered from the main battery of the EV itself to fully utilize the potential of it. So in the long term, Cisco are intending to electrify 35% of their fleet. So yeah, great, but can we get that a little bit higher, guys? Although I admit it's a little bit complicated. Now, the Riverside, California site is already in the process of expansion, and their charging infrastructure is improving, and their additional solar capacity as well. But I'm hearing you asking, the Freightliner eCascadia, what is it? Well, it's a Class 8 tractor, and we're talking about three main specs here. So let's just go over the highlights. The tandem drive with a 438 kilowatt hour battery will typically do about 220 miles. Now, you can get that as a single drive with the same 438 kilowatt hour battery pack, and that'll get you an extra 10, so 230 miles. But if you want to stick with a single drive, you can also reduce that battery capacity down to 291 kilowatt hours, and that'll get you typically 155 miles. Now, it is so important, you know, as much as we talk about, you know, even the Nissan Leaf or the Model X or BMW iX or, you know, some of these beautiful private transport cars, it's so important that we get these big commercial vehicles to switch to EVs. Just the amount of fossil fuels it would save and the effect on air quality. So well done to Cisco. Let's hope that you do hit those numbers and even get beyond them in the years to come. And our next story is heading over to Australia, and that's courtesy of Clean Technica. Now, they've got an article out and it says EV surge likely after Labour wins in Australia. Now, normally we stay away from politics on this show and we're going to continue to do that. But this one has specific repercussions for the EV industry over there and EV sales. So let me quote from the article. Yesterday witnessed a historic Labour Party win in Australian federal politics. For 10 years, the Liberal federal government has denied climate change science and slow-walked the transition to renewable energy. Yesterday's historic defeat for this coalition will change all that and likely lead to an EV surge. Now, how do we know that? Well, they're not hanging about. Labour's electric car discount is due to begin on the 1st of July 2022. These guys are not hanging about indeed. The beginning of the new financial year for them, and that is only about 5 weeks away. So let me quote even further. Australians love their cars. Multiple car ownership is common. Because of this, passenger cars make up almost 10% of Australia's CO2 emissions. So to move Australians from fossil fuel burning cars to electric vehicles powered by renewable energy, Labour is proposing exempting EVs from the 5% import tax and the 47% fringe benefits tax. And this was a move similar to what the UK government did, which led to a huge increase in uptake. So let's leave the politics aside and just say that it's great to see Australia really, really going to be pushing EVs over there. And you guys have so much sun. You've got so much space for wind and coastline. Oh, you just imagine the potential over there. And now if we have a government that is more amenable to clean energy and EVs, let's say, than the previous government, big improvements sure to come. Now let's move on to our final story of the day, courtesy of Green Car Reports. And that is that EVs are avoiding about 3% of global oil demand. What are the details on this? Well, plug-in vehicles, and I quote, avoided roughly 1.5 million barrels of oil per day last year, according to new analysis from Bloomberg New Energy Finance. That is, interestingly, about 1/5 of Russia's pre-invasion oil exports. Now, the oil use avoided by EVs has also doubled since 2015, which is great to see. And electric cars tend to get most of the attention in the press. It's what we talk about on this show a lot as well. When you're watching YouTube videos and you look at the news, it's all about private electric vehicles. But the analysis found that the other vehicle types accounted for most of the oil avoidance. Electric two- and three-wheeled vehicles tend to be hugely popular in Asia. They accounted for 67% of the oil demand avoided in 2021, according to Bloomberg NEF. Now, those vehicles definitely had an outsized impact on oil demand, but next in rank were electric buses, which accounted for 16% of oil demand, followed by passenger vehicles at 13%, even though there's such a fast-growing segment and it's what gets so much of the attention. So absolutely great to see, and hopefully in the future we see more and more stories like this with bigger and bigger numbers, because we talk a lot about cars. About, you know, my Nissan Leaf or Martin's Renault Zoe and MGZ SEV. But so much of the gains are micro mobility, scooters, electric motorbikes, vans, buses, taxis. You know, the big wins, the really, really important wins are going to be largely there. So great story. Well, folks, as we wrap up the show, it is time for question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. Really looking forward to this one. Now, I want to stir it up a little this week, and I want to know, the question of the week is, what's your dream driveway? Now, before we let this one get out of hand, I've got a couple of rules for you. In your dream driveway, you can have two or three vehicles. Let's say vehicles, yeah. And your budget is $150,000 or the equivalent wherever you are. Now, I know that's going to shake things up between taxes and incentives and all that. But let me go first, right? $150,000 gets me €140,000 here in Ireland. Now, I'm straight down to Honda for the Honda E. I just love it. Give me the top spec in blue of all the cars I've tested in the last year or so. It's just put a smile on my face the most. I can't justify that. But it's my money. That's what I want to spend it on. Next up, I'm going to drop 10 grand. Well, thereabouts anyway, probably a little bit less than that, on a recent Müller cargo e-bike, the Load 60. Love that thing. Perfect for me. I can run the two kids around town and I drop them down to school. Can throw a couple of gym bags in there. Yeah, love it. Great little thing. But also, I've got a lot of money left. I've got €90,000 and I want to say something like a 7-seat ID Buzz for the family, but that's not available yet. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go secondhand. I'm going to get a used Model S long range, the best one I can, for about €90,000. Oh yeah, that would do me plenty of space, plenty of range. Absolutely fantastic. But anyway, folks, you need to send in your answers as well. We want to hear from you. Email your answers in to martin@evnewsdaily.com. He's going to go through those next weekend when he gets back from his holidays and read some of them out. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what you guys have to say there. What is in your dream driveway? Thanks to emobilitynorway.com for that one. So for the week that's in it, folks, you can catch me on Twitter. I'm at EV Life Ireland. It'd be great to say hello to some of you. Look, it would mean a lot to us if you could just take 2 minutes to leave a quick review on whatever platform you've downloaded this podcast. So thank you very much to our premium partners. You are Phil Roberts of Electric Future. We've got Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village Cincinnati, Audi Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley, my good friend from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and maybe I'll spend some of that 90 grand over with you, Richard, on my used Model S. emobilitynorway.com. Octopus Electric Juice, making public charging simple with one card, one map, and one app. Millbrook Cottages.co.uk, 5-star luxury cottages in Devon. Jump in the hot tub while your EV charges. Yes, please, that sounds very good. So thank you very, very much for sticking around while the main man is on holidays. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid. See you on the next one.